Okay, good morning, everyone. First of all, thank you all for coming in these adverse, difficult situations that we find ourselves in, braving both the wind and all the other circumstances we have to deal with. I think it's important to note that at times like these, the seismic impact that we attribute to learning Torah, the comments of those like the Nefesh HaChaim, Chaim V'Lajner, who talks about how beyond the psychological impact that learning Torah has on us and how it uplifts our spirits and changes our days, but who knows where the impact it will have in the rest of the world as well. And it's worth acknowledging that while we're about to have a mundane discussion, which seems mundane, about things like, are you responsible for a car that's left in your parking lot? But that discussion is one that is about what the will of God is. And in studying it, we're doing a deep religious act. And so therefore, thank you for coming, and I hope this year will provide that seismic impact. Okay, so the series of shiurim is going to discuss the question of the liability of a shomer. Meaning we have in halacha, it's already described in the Torah, this notion that you can be held responsible for watching someone else's animal or object. And the question we're going to deal with today specifically is, when do I become liable? So, for example, one question we could ask is as follows. If a friend of yours is going away on a vacation and they ask if they can park their car in front of your house or in your driveway, and then, fortunately, while they're away, something happens to that car. And there are different things that could happen. If it gets broken into, if you didn't pay attention to it the way you should have if you had actually been commissioned to watch it. Should you be held liable for in a situation like that? Or do we say, no, look, I gave you permission to leave it there, but that doesn't mean that I'm committed to watching it. What is required to commit someone to watching an object? Which, as we see, the practical questions also relate to the theory of what is the nature of a relationship between a shomer and the owner of the object. Is that a business relationship? Is it a religious relationship? We know that although it seems like a normal business dealing, on the other hand, the Torah talks about it. The Torah imposes obligations upon a shomer. And so that is the discussion we're going to have today. We begin with a Mishnah in our Parak, Masochar HaSamnin, which says as follows. This is source number one. Kol HaUmnin Shomrei Sachar Hein. So all craftsmen are paid watchmen. It's worth noting that there are different categories of watchmen, and there is a difference between a watchman who is paid a salary for watching the object and someone who is not. Someone who is paid obviously has greater liability. And the Mishnah here, which says something very interesting, which is that all people who are craftsmen, meaning you give me an object to repair or to improve, and as I improve it, as I'm working on it, I have the status of a paid watchman on that object. Now, is that so simple? Just to point out, would you have assumed that a craftsman should be considered a paid watchman? You're shaking your head, Mickey. Why not?
You bring this thing into me, I'm taking care of it.
Right. I'm not being paid to watch. I'm being paid to repair it. And this is something that we'll talk about, hopefully, if we have time in future shiurim. One question is, once you create that liability, well, what is the nature of it? What type of liability do you have? But the Gemara here is assuming that you are getting paid, ultimately, for having the object in your possession, and therefore you are a paid watchman. The Kulan Sha'amru, and all the craftsmen that say, Tol et Shalcha, take what is yours, take your object back, Vave Mo'os, and then pay me, then Shomer Chinam. Then they still maintain their status of being a watchman, which is also interesting. They're still liable, at least to not be negligent with the object. However, they are no longer a paid watchman, they are a watchman for free. Shmor liv ashmor lecha, shomer sachar. If there is an exchange whereby I say, I will watch your object and you watch mine, so then I am also considered a paid watchman. And here's the key line for us, shmor li, if a person goes to their friend and they say, watch this object for me. And the response is, sure, put it down in front of me. Hanach lefanai, go for it. Then shomer chinam. Then the person who agrees to watch it is considered a free watchman, someone who's watching the object for free. Now, based on this Mishnah, if I were to ask you, what do I need to do to accept liability for watching an object, what would you answer?
Agreement.
What kind of agreement?
Leave it with me.
Saying verbally, right? This statement that we've mentioned many times this year, that a verbal contract is worth the paper it's written on, doesn't seem to really hold halachically. There are verbal contracts which seem like they're binding. That's what you would think from this Mishnah. Now, that's a bit surprising, but that certainly is the implication. If you look at source number 2, which is a bit later, which I hope something we'll get to study more in depth next time, the Gemara here talks about what type of statement, what type of verbal agreement commits a watchman to watch the object. What words do I actually have to say? So says the Gemara in source number 2 as follows. Shemor li, if he says, watch it for me, v'amar lo, hanach lefanai. And he says, leave it in front of me. Shomer chinam, that is the Mishnah. Amravuna, Amrlo Hanach Lefanecha. What if he said? Sorry. Right, so it's interesting. So we're dealing with a shomer, and the first part of the Mishnah deals with umnin. Now, you could speculate as to whether or not this the same would apply. I mean, I could also go to a craftsman and say the same thing, but it's certainly also dealing with generally shomer. Yeah. Okay. So. What if he says, Amar Avuna, Amar lo hanach lefanecha? What if I say, instead of hanach lefanai, leave it in front of me, I say, hanach lefanecha, put it in front of you. Meaning, okay, whatever you want. Just put it down. Eino lo shomer chinam velo shomer sachar. So then, I am not a watchman at all. I have no liability. Right? I'm sort of saying, okay, just put it down. Like, I don't want to deal with it. That's the interpretation of the words, hanach lefanecha, place it in front of you. Now the Gemara asks the question, Yibaya lehu, hanach stama mai. What if he just says, place it, put it down? Doesn't say lefanai, he doesn't say lefanecha. So now the Gemara has two attempts to solve the answer to this problem. So tashma, shmor leva amar lo hanach lefanai. We quote a Mishnah, which says, watch it for me, and he says to him, put it in front of me, then shomer chinam. Ha stama, The low clum. Sounds like if it just says hanach, then you're not liable. It's specifically hanach lefanai. Then the Gemara says, Adarabba, no, it's the opposite. Mida amar Rav Huna hanach lefanecha. Since Rav Huna in this braita says it's specifically leave it in front of you where you're not liable, huh? That's when you're not a watchman at all. Hastama shomer chinam avi. If you just say hanach, put it down, then maybe you are a shomer chinam. Ella mehal lekalamashmina. From this, we can't prove anything. Now, it's interesting just to point out some of the achbarim are bothered by the fact that we're sort of asking a contradiction between Rav Huna's statement and the Mishnah. We say the Mishnah says, sounds like the implication is, unless you say hanach lifanecha, right? You are not a shomer. Rav Huna in a braita later says, unless you say hanach lefanai, you are a shomer. So that's sort of interesting. But I think the general point is we can't make any implications just from those statements alone. The Gemara says we don't know yet. Now the Gemara has another attempt to solve this problem. So, lema ketanai, maybe it is a argument. And it quotes a Mishnah from Bava Kamma. Im hichnis, I wrote behemto, it doesn't need to be your animal. If a person has an animal or some other type of object and they bring it into someone's property. Okay, so say a friend of yours has their pet dog and they say, can I bring it into your backyard? You say, sure, why not? Come. So that's the case. Im hichnis behemto, bereshut ba'al chatzer chayav. Then if something happens to your friend's dog in your property, you're liable. Even if, you know, for whatever it is that damages the dog in your property, whether you have another animal there, whether it eats something, whatever it is, that's your responsibility. That's the first opinion in this braita. That is the opinion of the Chachamim. Rebbe Omer b'kula mino chayav ad she'akabel alav bal habayit lishmor. Rebbe says, no. In all these cases, you are only liable if the owner of the field says, I will watch it. You need an explicit kabbalah, acceptance of liability. So that's the Gemara's assumption is at this point, maybe this question of whether or not hanach, just saying put it down, constitutes an acceptance of liability. It depends on this argument between the Chachamim and Rebbe. Gemara says no. Dilma ak mimai, how do you know? Dilma, maybe akan lo kamir rabbanon hasam al bachatzer. Maybe the Chachamim who say that you are liable only said that in someone's private field. Debat naturehi, because if you put something in a field, it is a place where it will be protected. V'ki ka'amrle ayal, ayal de interlecha ka'amrle. And since it is a place where people put things so that they are protected, when you say put it down, the assumption is, put it down, I will protect it. Aval, hacha shukala bar naturehu. But here, and this is important, keep this in mind, the Gemara's assumption is, in our Mishnah, we are dealing with a case where you're not in anyone's property. You're out in the street. You're out in the marketplace. And someone asks, can I put this down? And you say, put it down. So then maybe not. You're saying, yeah, put it down and watch it yourself. Right? Yeah, you can put it down, sure. And then you watch it. Right? Inami, otherwise, in terms of the other way, maybe Rebbe only said his statement in regard to one's courtyard, right? Meaning Rebbe, who says that you are not liable for watching it unless you explicitly commit to doing so, that's only if it's your property. Because he has to ask permission to begin with. Meaning, if I ask you for permission to put something in your backyard, you might just be saying, yes, I have no problem with you putting it there. Because you need my permission to put it there. Doesn't mean I'm going to watch it. Ella avahacha hana va'ana mitarna kamarle. But here he must be saying, if you're in the middle of the street and I ask, can I put this down? And you say yes, I must mean that I'll watch it for you. If he simply meant that put it down and watch it yourself, my permission to put it down in the middle of the street? Like, I don't need your permission to say, yeah, I'm going to put my thing down here. You don't own the middle of the street. Therefore, maybe, even though Rebbe, when discussing one's private domain, requires an explicit acceptance of liability, maybe if it's in the public domain, maybe then he will agree that when a shomer says hanach, that is liability. So here we have a discussion about what type of words a person needs to say in order to commit to watching an object. And there are other discussions in the postgame. What if you just put it there, you don't say anything? All sorts of interesting discussions I hope to get to. And it does relate to sort of, you know, when you go to a parking lot somewhere and they put that sign up, right, which says, we are not responsible for anything that happens to your car while it's here. Is that necessary? Does it work? I mean, I'm actually curious. We have some legal experts here to hear about the implications of a sign like that. But that's all relevant to this discussion. However, again, if I ask you, what do I need to do in order to commit to having to watch something, what would you say? What does halacha require from a shomer in order to then be obligated? Or what is, in order for me to rely on you to watch my object, what do I need to hear? Just acceptance, sure. I'll watch it for you. That sounds, from this Gemara, the very fact that we're quibbling over what exact words, you know, you need to say, makes it seem like that indeed is binding. However, we have two other sources in the Gemara which give off a very different implication, and this tension between the two sources, three or four sources, leads to an interesting discussion in the Rishonim. Take a look at source number three. It's a bit complicated, but let's go through it slowly. So, this is in the middle of a discussion regarding borrowing. The Mishnah here is talking about a case, and previously, a few lines earlier, you have a borrower and a lender, and it talks about a case where they send the object to each other. They don't hand it over directly. Either they send it in the hand of their children or one of their servants. That's the context of this Gemara. So now the Gemara says something interesting. Ditmar, hashileni paratcha. So the borrower says here, lend me your cow. I forgot to say please. It's not very good manners. But lend me your cow. Vamar lo, beyond me. He says to him, okay, how are you going to get it to me? Who are you going to send it with? Right? So they're not, the case obviously is they're not right next to each other. Or at least the cow, let's say, is somewhere else. And the lender says, okay, I'll lend it to you. But how are you going to get it to me? So, Vamar lo, he kisha b'maka v'tavo. Give it a nice hit, you know, a nice smack with your rod, and it will come by itself. You know, it's going to get there. I guess this person has a lot of faith. It's all going to be okay. Just give it a, hit it with a stick and it will come. So now the question is, let's say he does that. As a borrower, okay, I am liable for almost everything. Right? If I'm borrowing your object, anything that happens to it, I have to pay for that. So now the question is, as the animal is in transit between the domain of the borrower and the lender, before it gets to my possession, who is liable? Am I liable already? Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Bar Avua, Amar Rav. Kevan sheyatzat mirishus mashil v'mesa chayav, as soon as it leaves the domain of the mashil, the lender, the borrower is already liable. As soon as it leaves the domain. So that's kind of interesting. Now, at this point, it sounds like we need, at least beyond the verbal agreement, it needs to leave the domain of the borrower, or the lender. Okay? Name of Messiah. Now the Gemara tries to bring a proof to this idea. If it says, Hashileni paracha, again, the borrower says, lend me your cow. V'amrele, beyond me. And he says to him back, how are you, whose hand are you going to send it with? V'amrele, hikisha b'makel v'itavo. Hit it with the stick, and it shall come. Kevan sheyotza mirishat mashil meitzachayav. Pretty fair support. It literally says the exact same thing we just said. But of course, we're going to deflect that proof, because maybe it's this particular case. So we say, Amrele Ravashi, no, maybe it's not a proof. Maybe you're not liable until you get it. Hacha b'mayas kinon, what is the case here? Kigon shahaita chatzera shel shoel lifnim me chatzera shel mashiel. So their fields are right near each other, and the field of the borrower is further in from the public domain than the field of the lender. Because it will for sure go right to the borrower's field when you send it. Meaning, since it's for sure going to get there, that's why you're liable right away. So, ihachi ma'ala memra. If so, then of course you're liable. Should you, of course, be liable? Just because it will eventually get to the possession of the borrower? Is that so obvious? So I'm not sure. You know, I could have said, doesn't matter if it will get there, maybe in order to accept liability, it needs to get there. But the Gemara takes this, it's obvious, which we'll get to in a second. No, lo tzricha de'ikagaz yasa. So no, it is necessary. There's these different paths or corners that the animal could get to. If you look at Rashi, it's not important for us now. It sounds like there's little crevices or places between the fields where it could be that the animal will go to instead of reaching the final destination of the borrower's field. Meaning maybe you'll think the borrower is not committing because he thinks, oh, well, maybe the animal will go off elsewhere on the way. No, the proof is that ultimately he is responsible because he knows it's going to go to his field. So at this part of the Gemara, we have this idea that although it doesn't need to get into my possession, but we have a certain mechanism of transferring responsibility to the shoel. Now keep in mind, this is a borrower. A borrower is a particular type of shomer, right? When I borrow your object, I have more responsibility than a typical guardian, but it does give you a different impression than our previous Gemara. Now the Gemara continues, and it gets even more interesting. So, Amar Rav Huna. Huna says, Hashoel kordo mechavero. A person who borrows an axe from his friend. Bakabo kuno. If he uses the axe and chops with it, then he acquires it. What do you think it means the borrower acquires the axe? Can't mean he actually owns it, right? Because you don't own it. You're borrowing it. That was the case. You don't own things that you borrow. So what does it mean, kana? Okay, so one possibility is achrayas, which is you're now responsible for it. The other possibility is that it means you now get to keep it and borrow it for the duration of the borrowing period. Meaning, if I say, I want to borrow your axe for 30 days, and you say, sure, until I give it to you, I could say, I kind of need the axe. I'd like it back. Once you use the axe to chop, then the deal's on, and I have to indeed let you use it for the duration of the borrowing period. That's what the Gemara will now discuss. Now, what's interesting about what Rav Huna says, he says you need to use the axe to chop with it. What other thing could have you said? What else might this transaction had taken place and been finalized?
Peter said, I want to borrow your axe.
Okay, so that's one.
Specify.
Right, so didn't we just talk about verbal commitments? So maybe it could have just been from the time I say, I'd like to borrow your axe. Sure. Alternatively, at least, you could have suggested, when I get the axe, I don't have to use it. And that the Gemara will discuss. So this is Rav Huna's statement. Lo baka bo, however, if you do not chop with it, lo kano, then you have not acquired it. So now the Gemara asks her question. What do you mean you acquired it? Lemai, in regard to what has the borrower acquired or not acquired this axe? Ilim ala onsin, if you will say it's a case of onsin, meaning a borrower is liable even for an extenuating circumstance or death, something that was beyond their control. If the axe somehow, gets destroyed by weather or something like that, the shoel is still liable. And if you're saying that in order to be liable, the borrower has to take the axe and use it, that can't be. My shna para, why is that different than a cow, which we just talked about? Demishat she'ela, that you become liable from the time that you borrow it. What does that mean, the time that you borrow it? When does that happen? I think the simple explanation is when you actually get it. And that's how the Rishonim interpret this, that you're liable for onsin from the time that you get the object, or you get the cow. So that can't be what we're talking about. Ela le chazara. Rather, what we're talking about is in terms of retracting, that from the time that the borrower uses the axe, the lender can no longer retract. Bakabo lo matzi hadar be ma. Shel lo bakabo matzi ba shel hadar be. Once he, as long as he hasn't used the axe, so then the borrower, or the lender rather, can retract. If he has used the axe, the lender cannot retract. Ufligi de Rebbe Ami. And this is against Rebbe Ami. De Amar Rebbe Ami. Rebbe Ami says, Hamashal kordom shel hektish, ma'al lefi tovat hana'a shebo. Someone, this is talking about the context of mi'ila. Mi'ila means, I think the best translation for it, although I don't think there actually is a good English translation for this. Some people say to make a change, some say trespass. But ultimately, mi'ila means when you misuse an item consecrated for the Beit HaMikdash. Okay, so you have an axe that was kachet ben kabayis, that has been donated for Beit HaMikdash uses, and you lend that axe to a friend. The Gemara says that is mi'ila, that transferal of the axe to his or her domain constitutes mi'ila, and the mi'ila is you have to pay for mi'ila, you have to pay for trespassing the object in such a way. Is lefi tovat hana'a shebo, according to the benefit you get from having a good reputation, that look how great I am, I lend my objects out to others, that is a certain type of benefit in halacha, and that's what you pay. Vechaveiro mutar levakeya bo lechachila. And the friend who actually borrows the object, even though it's a consecrated object, can now use it as he pleases. Because the rule is, after mi'ila happens to an object, especially the kachet ben kabayis, the kedusha leaves that object and it becomes chulin. And therefore, the Gemara is saying, by lending this axe out, it is no longer hektesh. I have violated mi'ila simply by lending it out, and it is now usable. Says the Gemara, v'ilo kana. If he hasn't acquired it, if the borrower hasn't acquired, quote-unquote, the axe, when you give it to him, Amai Ma'al, why is it considered Mi'ila? V'amai Chavir Mutar Lavakeh B'lechachila, why can you use it in order to chop wood? Nahadre, he should give it back, V'lo Likniyeh, and it won't be a transaction, an acquisition, V'lo Limol, and there won't be Mi'ila. If this is not binding, if giving over the object, the borrowed object is not binding, if it doesn't not only make you liable, but also make the acquisition binding, and that the borrower, the lender cannot retract, then why is it Mi'ila? Just give it back. So therefore, we see that this is an argument. So our first opinion was, in order to violate, in order to make the agreement binding, you need to actually use the object. Our second opinion is that no. That you only have to get the object, and that makes it binding. And then, Upligi de Rabbi Eliezer, and both of these, on a simple explanation, both of these opinions argue with Rabbi Eliezer. The Amr Rabbi Eliezer, Kederesh Tiknu Mishicha Bilakuchos. Rabbi Eliezer says, just as the rabbis instituted Mishicha, pulling an object, when it, in the context of acquisitions, meaning if I want to buy a movable object, paying for it isn't enough, I need to pull it into my possession. Kach tiknu mishicha b'shomrim. So too they instituted mishicha in regards to what? Shomrim. What's the significance of the word shomrim? What are shomrim? Watchmen, guardians. What were we talking about in this Gemara? A shoel, a borrower. So now, until now, I could have said, well, taking a step back, actually, we had, I think, a pretty big contradiction here, right? Now, it would seem that previously we had said the verbal commitment is what it's all about in regard to Shomrim. Now we're saying that you actually have to do Mishicha. Now, I could have suggested maybe a shoel, a borrower, has different rules than other Shomrim. This statement applies this rule to all Shomrim. And the Gemara notes that it's Tiknu. It sounds like it's a rabbinic institution. It's not Midioraita that Mishicha constitutes an agreement and creates liability. It's only on a rabbinic level. So now we have a problem that the Rishonim have to deal with. On the one hand, we have our Mishnah, which says, what do you need to do in order to create liability? Hanach lefanai, you say, leave it in front of me, and that creates liability. But we also have this other source, which is suggesting that, no, what do you need to do in order to create liability? Mishicha, you need to pull the object, you need an actual acquisition. So this is this presents a challenge that we'll have to deal with. Any potential answers before we go on? What was the context, says the Gemara, of Rav Huna's statement, right? That you, in order to borrow an axe from your friend, you need to use it. In what regard did he say that, conclusively? It's about not onsen, but chazara, retracting. Maybe, as we'll see, there's a difference between the responsibility of a shomer to watch an object and the commitment to be able to use an object either as a socher or a shoel or as a shomer chinam. To not to use it, but then to have to watch it. There are different aspects of being a shomer, right? There's the aspect that as long as I am a shomer, I'm liable. There's also the fact that I'm committing to watch it for a particular amount of time. Maybe I could say at some point, I don't want to watch it anymore. Now I was liable, but I don't want to be anymore, and maybe those are two different discussions. So far we have conflicting sources. The source for this rule of Tikna Mishicha Mishorim is another Gemara. It's a bit complicated. We'll try to make it as simple as possible also to sort of maintain the flow here. But the context of source number four is the context of stealing, theft and robbery. So generally the Torah says that if you steal an object, right? Meaning you don't do it in broad daylight, you do it in a hidden way without the owner knowing about it. You're liable to pay double the amount that the object was worth. And also, If you steal a shor or a seh, an ox or a sheep, you pay 4 or 5 times the amount that the item was worth. The Mishnah here talks about the parameters of those halachot in regards to what you need to do with the item and where do you need to bring it in order to then be liable. Says the Mishnah, if you steal an object from the owner's possession and then you slaughter it or sell it, right, as I mentioned, it's with an ox or a sheep, in order to be liable for 4 or 5 times the amount, you need to either slaughter the sheep or ox or sell them to another party. So the case is if you're in the owner's domain and then you steal it, then you bring it out of their domain and you slaughter it or sell it, or you steal it outside their domain and then slaughter it or sell it in their property, or you do everything outside the property, you pay 4 or 5 times. However, if you steal it and slaughter it all in their domain, patur. So the point is that we need to know for us, in order for a ganav to be liable, they need to bring the item out of the domain of the owner. So long as I'm still in your domain, in your field, in your house, I have not yet done a, you know, kinyan geneva. I haven't acquired the object in terms of being liable for it as a thief. Now the Gemara says, the Mishnah says a case which is very cryptic in the way to interpret it. Rashi has interpretations. I'm going to go with a more commonly accepted one, which is as follows. Nasno lebecharo beno o lebalchov. Okay, so who is giving it to who? So let's assume for now that it is the ganav. The thief steals the object, and now he uses it for his own purposes. So he gives it as a bechor. There's a rule that if you have a firstborn son, you need to give a karban for that occurrence. It's called a karban bechor. So I guess, you know, this ganav doesn't care too much about stealing someone's property, but they're religious. They want to fill their rechiyah bechor, so they give the animal they stole as a karban for the bechor to the kohen. Lebal chov, or they use it to pay back a loan. L'shomer chinam, or they give it to a shomer. Right, you steal an object, you're like, hey, could you watch this for me? L'shoel, or as to someone who wants to borrow it. L'nosei sachar, l'socher, right? Or to a paid watchman, or to a renter. V'haya mosho umeid b'reshut ha'balim. And let's assume for now that the person that the robber gives it to is pulling the animal, and it dies before leaving the jurisdiction of the owner. Patur. So let's say for now, the robber is exempt from all these extra payments. Higbio osho tzio mer shot ha'balim v'meit chayev. If, however, they pick it up or bring it away from the owner's jurisdiction, then the robber is liable for 4 or 5 times the amount. That was all introduction for the following question, which should seem familiar to you. Boy Amemar, Amemar asked, Tiknu Mashicha Bishomrim Olo. Did the rabbis institute Mashicha pulling for Shomrim, for guardians? Or not? Is Mashicha, sounds like the Gemara's question here is Mashicha effective? Does it work? Amar Rav Yemar, Tashma, Nasal Bechor Openo, Levalchov, Leshom Rechim, Leshom, Nosei Sachar, Lesocher. So that's our Mishnah. If you give, let's assume for now, the robber gives the animal as a Bechor, or to his debtor, or to a Shomer, and Hayamosha Vayotze Vamis, and the Shomer was pulling the animal and it died, Bereshut HaBalim, in the owner's Rishos Pater. My lab Shomer. Are we not dealing with a Shomer? Meaning, who's bringing it out of the possession of the owner? It's the guardian. You steal the object, you give it to a guardian, the guardian brings it out of the owner's jurisdiction. That's when you're liable. Why are you liable? What did the Shomer do to acquire it? Says the Gemara, the case must be that by being motion, by the Shomer pulling the object, that acquires it, quote unquote, and that's why you are liable. Meaning it's sort of a two-step, it's a, you know, they team up to perform this robbery. Now, which is a question, by the way, because Rishonim talk about, usually we can't commit a sin via a shliach. Ein shliach advar avera. This seems to be an exception to that rule. However, that is the case here. So, Amrle, lo, it's not that, the lo ganav. Who took it out of the rishus? It's all the robber. The case isn't one where this robber steals the object and gives it to another party. It's a case where the owner gave it to the guardian, and the robber steals it from the guardian, and then the robber brings it out of the jurisdiction. Meaning, if the shomer did it, that wouldn't have been enough. They were not mitakin mashicha for shomrim. It is the robber who can bring the object out of the jurisdiction, and therefore be liable. So, mishma amina. So no, hatanli reisha. We see that in the first part of the Mishnah. Tana ganav shagan beis avilim. But tana ganav shagan beis shomer. So we say, no, you're right. We taught two cases. One case is the ganav can steal from the owner and be liable. The second case is the ganav can steal from a guardian and be liable. Armli revashi, lo tichye. Don't push us off like that. That's not a good answer. It's not what it's talking about. Come on. Mali ganav shagan beis shomer. Mali ganav shagan beis avilim. It doesn't matter if the robber steals from the guardian or they steal from the owner. It's the same thing. The Mishnah doesn't need to teach us that. El alav shomer. Rather, it's talking about a case where the shomer took it out. Shma mina tiknu mishicha b'shomrin. You see, therefore, that shomrim had this idea of pulling the object. And as we say, Imar nami amrav lazar karach kaderish tiknu mishicha b'lachuchos kach tiknu mishicha b'shomrin. That's our Gemara. Rabbi Eliezer says, just as they instituted Mishicha for Lakuchos, they did the same for Shomrin, and now the Gemara quotes another Brisa for the same effect. So we have two Gemaras, both indicating that in order to create liability, you need to do Mishicha, which is against, it would seem, our Mishnah, which says all you need to do is say, put it down in front of me. So how do we reconcile these Gemaras? Now taking a step back from a conceptual point of view, what do you think a shomer should need to do in order to be liable? If we look at other types of relationships where someone is liable or commits to a transaction, what is usually required? Negligence. Negligence? What do you mean by that?
Actively not doing what he's supposed to do.
Well, how do I know what I'm supposed to do?
Well, there's five parameters as to what the shomer's responsibility is. Well, that,
right. But the question also is, what makes me a shomer? Right? What makes me a shomer? You're already assuming a shomer has to do certain things. My question is, well, what makes me a shomer such that I need to do certain things? What should be required?
Acceptance.
Acceptance. Just saying yes.
Somebody says you want to be a shomer, say yes. That's what you want.
Right, so that's kind of interesting, because where else do we have that? That just saying yes makes you have to do something. Right, that's. I mean, so maybe you can answer if you've been with us for the rest of the year that maybe that's not so simple. But I'll say the word usually, although it's kind of getting to be not so usually anymore. But usually, commitments require a kinyan, an act of acquisition. Usually, why might a shomer be different?
Maybe sometimes you get paid. If a shomer sachar gets paid,
then he's like what?
Then maybe he would need more than just the.
Shouldn't I have to pay you? I have to pay you, don't I? At least make me, once I pay you, that's a different discussion.
Maybe a shomer chinam only needs to say yes. Meaning he differentiate between...
Hanach lefanai shomer chinam.
Exactly. Because all he needs to do is say yes to the shomer chinam.
Because he only has limited obligations.
Oh, so it's... Okay.
What you get what you pay for, so to speak. So if you want more obligations from the shomer, you pay him for it. The shomer then...
Well, that's fair, but you're sort of you're getting him in trouble for doing a good deed, right? No good deed goes unpunished. You're saying, I'm watching it for you for free because I'm doing it for free. Therefore, just by simply saying yes, I'm liable, or as someone who's paid.
For negligence. You're not liable for
okay, you're saying it's not a big deal anyway. So, okay.
Reasonable.
Interesting. So, the way I would look at this, I agree with your assessment. The way I would look at this is as follows. Right, we noted that what determines the liability for shomer? Where does it come from? So the answer is that it's in the Torah. What the Torah talks about, how a Shomer Chinam and a Shomer Sachar and a Shoel all have a certain amount of liability in different cases. It's in the Torah. It's sort of a divinely imposed obligation. So the question with a lot of, with Shomer generally is, to what degree do we see this as a business transaction? Like any other business transaction, whereby it's dependent upon our agreement, our intention when we made the agreement, and should be governed by regular rules of relationships? Or do we see this as some sort of, you know, Torah-imposed obligation? It's, once I am a Shomer, whatever creates that, the Torah says that this is what you're liable for. And this is an interesting question in many areas of Shomer. We have a case where you can sort of be a Shomer Chinam, but say I'm going to be liable like a Shomer Sachar, and vice versa. There is a certain flexibility to that, which highlights the fact that although the Torah says Shomer Chinam is chayav for X, Y, Z, Shomer Sachar is chayav for X, Y, Z, it also sort of depends on wherever we agreed. Now, so I think one way to think about this is, the more we think that a Shomer Chinam and a Shomer Sachar is a sort of, and a Shomer is sort of a regular financial relationship, it should require a Kinyan, just like any other financial relationship. Even a robber is not a robber unless they perform some sort of active acquisition on the object. However, if we're seeing this simply as you are obligated to watch something for your friend when you agree to do so, because that's what the Torah says, okay, then maybe there will be a lower standard to create that liability, right? It's not simply strictly a financial relationship. Furthermore, could you potentially distinguish between the liability to watch the object, or for watching the object, and the commitment to the relationship? If I'm a borrower, and we have a 30-day borrowing period, maybe once I say I'll do it, although we'll see, then I am a shoel, but that I get to use it for 30 days, and that you have to give it to me for 30 days, and that I have to now watch it as a shoel for 30 days, and the time period of it might be a different sort of relationship. Maybe that is like a commitment. So let's take a look at some of the approaches in the Rishonim. The first school of thought, I put it here, Gisha Rishonah, Hagashah Mishnah, Bedav Peh Amar Aleph, says our Mishnah is the main determinant of Halacha, meaning the Mishnah which says Hanach Lefanai means that Hanach Lefanai, a verbal commitment, is all you need in order to be liable as a Shomer. It's just a verbal commitment. And they have to deal with the Gemara on in Bava Metzia, Dat Sai Testament Aleph, in Ayin Testament Aleph, in Bava Kama, in other ways, and saying that's not really what it means. It's not talking about liability. So take a look at source number 5, and this is Tosfot here in our Masechta in Bava Metzia. I'll also just note that this is Tosfot in Bava Kama gives you a different impression. I don't have it here for you, but this is Tosfot in our Sugya. Kach tiknu mishicha b'shorim, says Tosos. Lo leil chayev ba'onsin kamar. When the Gemara says that the rabbis instituted pulling mishicha for guardians, it is not in regard to being liable for onsin, for extenuating circumstances. D'hashomer chinam b'lo mishicha chayev b'pshia. Because hashomer chinam is obligated, liable for negligence. That's all a Shomer Chinam is liable for. They're not liable for any other circumstance, but they are liable for negligence below Mashicha, without pulling the object, without any kinyan. How do I know? It's our Mishnah. Kidu Amrina b'Parika Omnin, as we say in Parika Omnin, the Hanach lefanai Shomer Chinam. If you just say put it in front of me, and I say sure, put it in front of me, that makes me a guardian, a free guardian. V'u'adin shomer sachar b'gneva v'aveda. Similarly, the case is with a paid watchman in regard to theft and the object getting lost, right? Shomer sachar has an additional liability. That liability is created the moment I say, I will watch it for you. Once we determine that that's what I mean, right? And as per the discussion in source number 3, or source number 2 rather, when do I say that's what I mean? But once we determine I am agreeing verbally to watch your object, I have to, I'm liable for what happens to your object. So that's not what it's talking about. The Iyashoa Kamar, and this is another interesting point, and it is a distinction between Shomrim, which is something to note. If we're talking about a borrower, then the opposite. Midoraita Nami Lokani Eli B'Mashicha. A borrower will only be liable, even on a biblical level, once they do an acquisition, once they pull the object. Meaning, the Gemara sounds like the idea that the shomer needs to pull the object to become liable, and that that is effective, is a rabbinic institution. Says Tosfot, for a shoel, biblically, you're only liable for everything once you do a kinyon. You don't need the Rabbanon to institute Mashiach for a shoel. So that also can't be what it's saying. Worth noting, and this is generally something to think about, although they're all called shomrim, right? Maybe the relationship between an owner and a shoel is different than the relationship between the owner and a shomer sachar or a shomer chinam. Maybe what obligates them is different. It's a different mechanism. It sounds like for a shoel, you need a real kinyan. So I think it's from this Gemara, right? Because we say, my shnam mipara. Right? We say that why in the Gemara, if you're then telling me that a shoel is chayiv only in onsen, only when they use the axe to hit it, but what do you mean? We say in the case of a para, that it's mishash she'ela. It's from the time that you borrow it. That's how I understand, but it's sort of the Tosfos is assuming, no, for a shoel really needs to do a mishicha. Don't say what it's talking about is that it's talking about a socher, that a socher, even though the socher pays, they're not liable for watching it until they pull it. And the takana is, although you should have been liable from when you pay for the object, right? Sort of counterintuitive, because I'm paying you and therefore I'm liable. But you should have been chayav for the time that I pay. No, the rabbis say you're only chayav once you do a mishicha. Can't be. Because the idea to begin with of having to pay for schiros only arises at the end of the schira, right? The chiyuv for the socher to pay is only at the end. Therefore, it doesn't seem that midyoraita you should have to for sure you don't have to pay at the beginning. And Tosfos does not want to assume that that's the intention of the Gemara, that the case is only when the socher paid, and that's what the Rabbanan say. Va'od my pliga d'amr hacha. What's the argument about then? Who could argue on that? What does that have to do with the Me'ila case? Ela le'inyan chazar kamar. Rather, we're talking about retracting. It's all about retracting. De'socher v'shoel miyad shemashko ha'behema m'rashot ha'baylim. Ein baylim yecholin od la'chazor v'han d'kamar u'pligi d'rav huna. That a socher and a shoel, what we're saying is, when do we say that they have, quote-unquote, acquired the object such that the owner is now committed to letting them rent the object or borrow the object for the allotted period of time? When they do mishicha, because tiknu mishicha b'shomrim. Tosfos separates between the agreement to let the socher and shoel use the object and the liability that a shomer has for watching the object. The minute I say hanach lefanai, I'm liable. But at any moment, the owner could say, okay, I'd like my object back. I don't actually want to lend it to you or let you use it and rent it. Once the owner gives the object to the shoel and socher, then that's when the shoel and socher have the right to use it at least until the end of the rental or borrowing period.
Any difference in the liability of a shoel where he's borrowing it for free as opposed to paying it, like a rental?
Yes. So that's actually discussed in our Gemara, but a shoel is chayav for everything. Shoel is chayav for onsen, whatever happens to it, as long as the only case a shoel is not liable is if while using the object gets killed or damaged, mita machma malacha. A socher, it's an argument in the Gemara, some say a socher is liable like a shomer chinam, meaning, it's essentially, I'm paying for my use of it, and therefore, you know, I shouldn't be liable for anything unless I was negligent. Or do we say a socher is like a shomer sachar, and you are liable for geneva va'aveda, you're liable for theft, and the object is getting lost, but you definitely are not liable for onsen. So that's the difference.
Does the mother create any sort of obligation on what we would call detrimental reliance? Is that any sort of a...
Detrimental reliance, very good.
in English law we have that.
Yeah.
It's more as a defense than as a, you know, than a shield than a
sword. So 100%.
But does that create any sort of opinion? Because even for Shomer Kinnan, right, when I say to you, watch my stuff, I'm not going to pay you, you say yes, and based on that, I'm leaving it with you, I'm not guarding it, I'm going away. That's, I'm relying on that. Does that create any sort of opinion?
Very possible. And as we'll see today, maybe that is the mechanism for it. What Zev is suggesting is that the very fact that I'm relying on you and you say you'll do it, and then because I relied on you, something bad happens to it, that in and of itself might be...
Well, because I rely on you, something bad happens. Something bad happens because it happens.
Well...
But I'm leaving it with you, and I'm giving up... You know, my guardianship. I'm going away. I'm
lying. Right. So we're going to talk about that. But I think the because of you is important because, you know, like what, it's nice that you're leaving it with me, but,
you know, what?
Right. So it's about the negligence. And I think part of it is, well, I relied on you. Had I been there, this wouldn't have happened. But you said you would watch it. And I relied on that statement. Right. And now you were negligent and you didn't watch it. So that's on you. 100%. That might be the very mechanism for Shomer Chinam, yes. So that's where we're going there.
You're saying that there's no opinion, there might be some
right,
sort of
right,
something analogous.
Right. Meaning essentially what you're suggesting is there's sort of like three ways to go with this. One is you don't need a kinyan. One is that you do need a kinyan. One is that there is some sort of quasi-kinyan or responsibility, and there are different mechanisms of halacha where you don't need a full-fledged act of acquisition, but you're still liable. Can anyone think of another case where that happens? You don't need a full act of acquisition, but you're still liable? Somebody discussed this year? So, think of it in a simple way. What is a shomer? If you were to classify, what category does a shomer fall into in terms of the relationship? So you could say it's a poel. Maybe a shomer is like a worker.
As opposed to what?
Just a different category altogether. But like maybe the rules of a poel, a worker, an employee, apply to a shomer. You know, maybe a shomer is a type of, we'll see, arif, a guarantor. And that might be a way of, creating this liability, which has different rules than just being a seller or a buyer or it's just an agreement. So that's where we're going, 100%. And I think actually Zev's point is sort of implied by the rush here. Take a look at source number 6. Amar Rav Huna, Hashoel Kordo Mechavero Bakabo. If a person borrows an axe from his friend, so then he has, and he uses it to chop wood, so baka, kano, then he has acquired it. Velo matzi mashal mahadar, lo baka bo, lo kano. However, if he doesn't use it, so then he has not acquired it. Umatzi mashal hadarbe. Upligi derab lazar, dam lazar, kadarish tikni mashicha malakuchos, hak tikni mashicha bishomrin, demisha shemashach, that from the time that you pull the object, then lo matzi l'mahadar bay, then you cannot retract on the agreement. Aval hechayev be'onesim, says the Rush, but in order to be liable for an ones, afilu kodem mishicha nami, even before you pull it. Da shomer chinam below mishicha mechayev v'pshia, as we say, that a free watchman, an unpaid watchman, is liable for negligence even if they don't pull it. Could the itala el parga omnim? The hanach lefanai havi shomer chinam. Just you just want to make a point here. It's interesting they're bringing the proof from shomer chinam to Zev's point. That a shomer chinam is liable for negligence might be relevant. Maybe negligence specifically has a higher liability, right? To be liable for negligence, you know, as we discussed in the Pshia, cluster of Pshia, Besofo, Ba'one Sugyas, right? Negligence can be viewed as a sort of type of damage or, you know, detrimental liability, as you said. Maybe that's why Shomer Chinam's Chaya, because all they're Chaya for is negligence. To be Chaya for Pshia, you need less of a formal commitment. Just to point it out there, the Rush and the Tosos say no. The fact that a Shomer Chinam's Chaya shows Shomim don't require an acquisition. But then Shomer Sachar Begnei Vaveda, so to a paid watchman. V'chein Shoal Nami, pointing out here, unlike Tosfos, who assumes and a Shoal goes the other way, the Rush says a Shoal also doesn't really need a formal acquisition. What's his proof? Im Amrle Hikisha Bamakel V'hi Tavo. Our Gemara, which says all the Shoal needs to say is, take your staff and hit the animal and it will come. That creates liability. That's not a Kinyon. And it goes into the public domain where Mishicha isn't Kona in the public domain. Meaning generally the rule is Mishicha is a type of kinyan, and when you pull the object into your domain, but it needs to be your domain. If you're in the public domain and it's not your jurisdiction, Mishicha doesn't work. Yet we say for a borrower that once you hit the cow and it goes in your direction, even if we call it a type of Mishicha, but it still shouldn't work because it's in the Rishos HaRabim, yet you're still liable. So even for a Shoel, and we'll talk about this specific example hopefully next time, I guess, even a Shoel doesn't require a formal acquisition. And in that case, says the Rush, when you do Mikishim Makel, the lender can retract. The lender can say, no, I want it back. That Gemara is only talking about liability. Liability for a Shomer has a lower standard. Just as even if the Shol himself pulled the animal there, that's not a kinyan, and yet you're still chayv and onsim. V'chei mashma lishan de kamar pligi de Rebbe Lezer, mashma de pligi Rav Huna de Ari bechazara. It sounds like when Rebbe Lezer says tiknu mishicha b'shomrim, it sounds like he's arguing on Rav Huna. Rav Huna, the Gemara clarifies, is only talking about chazara, retraction, not liability. Usvara gedola lechalek bein chazar lechivon, says Rush. It's very logical to distinguish between retracting, backing out of the agreement, and liability. Le'inu chazara bereshut habailim kaima, regarding retracting from the agreement, meaning a binding agreement that I get to borrow your object, that it's still in the owner's jurisdiction, calls manchlo asik baha shomer, as long as our garden hasn't used it. Davar hakona mekacha memchar, or done something that acquires objects in business. Aval inyon chiyov onsin, regarding liability, miyad shesalak, I think this is exactly what you're saying. Miyad shesalak baha behemash mirata me'aleha, the minute that the owner says, I'm not watching it, they remove themselves from watching the object. Midat hashomer, based on the agreement of the guardian, kamala birishut hashomer l'shomra, then the shomer has an obligation to watch it. Ukeshem shakarka negis pekas shar zaka, kaskiris karka negis kas shar zaka. That's sort of another point. So says the Rush, there's a distinction between liability, which is triggered by me saying, I will watch, you saying, okay, I'm not watching it anymore. Now, I think you can explain it in two ways. Either sort of with what Zev is suggesting, we have another mechanism whereby me relying on you and then it ending out, you know, to my detriment is itself binding. Or I think we could suggest, because that's what the Torah says, once I say I'm going to watch your object, and you say, sure, and I'm not watching it, you are, that's when Torah says, you got to make sure X, Y, and Z don't happen to it, even if there is no bonding transaction. And the borrower, the lender, can say, I don't want to do it anymore. I'm not going to let you use it. So I guess what we've seen so far, just a quick summary is, until now, is we saw the contradiction, seeming contradiction, between the two different sources as to what creates liability for a shoel and other shomrim. And we saw the first approach here of Tosa and the Rush, which I suggest we should emphasize the Mishnah in Bava Metzia, Pei Amibiz, which suggests that it is about the verbal commitment. You don't need a formal acquisition, and therefore distinguish between liability and the agreement for the borrower and lender to go through with this transaction. What we'll see next time, hopefully, is the other opinion, which says, no, you do need a financial acquisition, at least you need a Mishicha, and hopefully we'll have some time to both go through some of the theoretical underpinnings of what a shomer is and what the basis of the commitment is, and hopefully also some practical applications of when a shomer is liable. So, Shkaya, thank you very much.
One moment just to say that based on the advice we've gotten from health officials, until there's a case of community transmission locally, we're going to be continuing to learn. We will have Facebook Live and similar web platforms